Well, the Duluth Fire Department had a fantastic invitation to the media to come and watch them undergo some special training earlier this week. Oh, I hate it when my schedule doesn't let me get to things I really want to go to. But Tom Gunsberger is the training officer, and he joins us this morning to fill us in on what we missed. Tom, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. So the Duluth Fire Department undertook a training to support pets during emergencies or calls for assistance. So if you are called out to a fire and somebody's managed to get their companion animals out and the animal is struggling, you've got the equipment and now the training to use it. Tell us a little bit about the scenarios that were presented to the officers and what their responses need to be in cases of emergencies like this.
Well, it's quite often that we go to emergencies such as fires and things like that, that pets either make it out of the house, but they're struggling medically, or they don't make it out of the house. Of course, our first thing is to get all the people out of the house, but then, you know, animals are very much part of our family, so we do everything we can to go back in and look for any animals that may be in the residence. Once we get them out, for about 4 years, we've been using just kind of like CPR masks for pets, that we can use those to help revive pets as needed. But we never really had any formal training as far as other specific things to pets. A lot of the EMS very similar to humans, but obviously anatomy differences. So that was a big part of the training, was how to do CPR, where to do CPR on pets, how to capture pets, in that sometimes they don't want us to be there, even though they might be in some distress, they don't want us to be there. So how, you know, what's the best way to get the pets, and how can we read their body language so we know how best to deal with them?
The body language piece is so key, because animals are frequently telling you what they're about to do, whether it's run away, bolt, I'm afraid, I'm backed into a corner, whatever it might be. But we don't speak good animal body language, and that piece of the training, it seems to me, is really key. A lot of that's going on in the schools right now, just to help keep kids safer so that they can understand better when it's a good time to approach a pet. Tom, I don't know how long you've been a firefighter, but I want to say 30 years ago, longer ago than that, 35 years ago when I was a baby reporter, I was called to a house fire, and there were pigeons that had suffered smoke inhalation. And after everybody, fire noises in the background.
Yeah,
that's
sorry.
Fine.
Sorry.
Nope, that's fine. After all the people were dealt with, I kept asking somebody, what do we do for the pigeons? What can we do for the pigeons? And people, including the fire department and anybody else I asked, looked at me like I was insane.
Yep.
The idea of no reporters would have reported a dog and a cat made it out safe at that time, and certainly the fire department would not have spent any time trying to help companion animals. How have we gotten to this place, and do you think this is a good change?
It surely is. Like I said, so many pets now are part of the family, and I've got two yellow labs myself, and they truly are a part of the family, and it's very very important to the family members. Plus, it's anytime we can do that service, it's just another hopefully happy ending for the family that just went through a lot of distress, as far as whether it be their house burning down or a tornado, something like that. They've just gone through a pretty traumatic experience, and if we can help by, you know, saving a pet or sometimes it's even just personal items, but so much, you know, like say with the pets being part of the family, if we can bring a pet out and save that pet, that's a huge plus for families that are just going through a big emergency.
Well, we count on them so often. Pardon me, go ahead.
Nope, I was going to say, and I think that's just as pets become more important over the, like you said, over the course of 20, 30 years, we're just seeing more involvement in that. Plus, we know more. We're learning more. We're better at customer service than we used to be 30 years ago.
Well, those are wonderful words for everyone in the Northland who's an animal lover to hear, obviously. We count on them to help them keep us, you know, on an even keel. And I can certainly think that if you've just lost everything in some kind of a horrific accident or fire, that you need all the help you can get, definitely, including the four-legged kind.
Exactly, exactly. And we always want to stress, though, not for, you know, in the case of like a house fire or something, we want to stress that the residents don't go back in themselves to get their pets. We don't want people getting hurt to go back in there to get their pets. When we get there, we'll do everything we can to go in. We're equipped to go in there to search around for them. Most of the residents aren't. So we want to make sure that we keep that in mind, that we don't want residents going back in for their pets. We'll do everything we can when we get there.
When there used to be a time in grade school when we were encouraged to go home and do fire drills with our families. When we were in grade school, we were taught about fire safety, and then we were encouraged to do fire drills with our families. Does it make sense to do a fire drill and include grabbing up the animals, perhaps, in that fire preparation, so you'd kind of have an idea what to do if something happened? Or do the basic rules still apply? Get yourself out and the other two-leggeds.
I think if they're within sight of you and you can grab them on the way out, that would be something you could do. But I wouldn't go looking for the pet, because quite often the pets are pretty, they have good senses. They kind of know that something's wrong, and they may go hide in a spot that's safer for them, like maybe under a bed in a corner, somewhere low to the ground, which is what we tell people to do, get low, you know, under the smoke and try and get out. Sometimes we even find pets, even though they might be in distress, have gotten out of the house or the structure themselves because they know something's wrong, and they just leave. We'll find them next door in another yard or something like that. It's a great idea to do the exit in the homes to learn that. If they're going to take a pet, it should be only if they can grab it on their way out.
If you have to collect a pile of cats trying to get out of your bed, you have to collect the cats just to move anyway.
Yep.
Just hang on to them and keep moving.
If you can do that safely and get out of the house quickly, then that's all right. But we don't want to put ourselves in peril to get the pet. We can come in afterwards and look for that. And as much as I love my pets, we need to get the people out first.
Tom, thank you so very much for taking some time to fill us in on this training. And again, this is really welcome news for the many, many homes here in the Northland who've got animals at home and are going to really be glad that you are prepared in this way if, heaven forbid, we ever need you to come. Thanks
sure.
again.
A bit of interesting information is we just had a structure fire yesterday where they had three dogs, pit bulls in the house. That even just after our training, they hear that we had a structure with three dogs in there, and they did get all three dogs out alive. We're hoping they did get them to an area clinic, and we're hoping they'll make it. So it was kind of interesting that we just got done with this training, and then we were able to use some of those techniques right off the bat.
That is fantastic. And, of course, a dog is, you know, maybe territorial, maybe trying to protect the home. When a dog is under stress, it's going to be difficult to deal with that dog, perhaps, and that you have the skills and the body language and the right equipment. That's fantastic. Once again, Tom, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Tom Gunsberger is the training officer with the Duluth Fire Department, and earlier this week they held a training on dealing with pets in the instance of an emergency or a structure fire. And as Tom reported, they had the opportunity to try out some of those new skills just yesterday. And is fingers crossed that the three dogs that made it out alive are going to be okay.